Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. Little known facts about the Civil War will be exposed in a special presentation at the St. Joseph Museum this evening. Public Relations Officer for the St. Joseph Museum, Kathy Reno, says Dr. Robert Quarter will be telling stories about the Civil War.
He is a St. Joseph physician who's actually one of three physicians who helped us create the Civil War medicine exhibit. It happens to be a passion of his, this topic. And one thing that he developed was his own PowerPoint and his own collection of little-known facts, the American Civil War. What are some things that aren't commonly known? And he thought that it would be interesting to tell those things that are not in exhibits very often, or not in books, or that you don't hear, because all kinds of things were going on during that time. Since the war stretched out for 4 years, obviously, you have inventions, you have medical advances. And he's given me a few teasers. He was telling me that one person he's going to talk about is a female physician, and there were very few of those practicing medicine during that era. And she had to go to great lengths to be allowed to serve as a military doctor. She actually paid her own way to go to a particular area because she'd heard that physicians were needed there. And she created her own uniform. She brought her own tools. She gave of her time. And she actually was awarded a medal at the end for her valor, for her service. And then in later years, they tried to take it away from her, and she refused to return it. And that's just one of many stories he has.
Now, along with his presentation, will he also be showing some of the items used during the war?
You know, he is keeping that very much to himself, but I would assume so. I assume he'll bring some, and of course, this is a wonderful opportunity for people to actually see two Civil War medicine exhibits we have that evening, Civil War Medicine and Divided Loyalties, which are documents from the Missouri State Archives. So they can see the exhibits, they can hear what are the little-known facts. And given that Dr. Quarter obviously practices medicine, I imagine he'll be able to give them lots of insight as far as what were the medical advances at the time. The exhibit talks about what they did. What did we learn from that that's really helpful to us today? Anybody with a passion for the Civil War, this is going to be perfect for them because he's going to talk about maybe the aspects that they haven't heard about before.
That was the Public Relations Officer for the St. Joseph Museum, Kathy Reno. She says Dr. Robert Quarter will be speaking this evening at 6 o'clock at the St. Joseph Museum at 3406 Frederick Avenue. The presentation is open to the public. Rubidoux Resident Theater's Bravo series is bringing the national touring company of Menopause the Musical to St. Joseph this weekend. Jeff Haney is the executive director of RRT.
It is about the change of life, of course, as the title says, but it's set in a department store where four women get together, and it begins over a discussion about a black lace bra, and then it turns into a 90-minute musical that captures the music of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And through that, there's a lot of humor about the change of in midlife that occurs to everybody, but especially to women. And so, and through that process, these four women become, a much tighter bond is created between the four of them.
Are there songs and pieces that people might recognize?
Oh, absolutely. They'll recognize all of them. The music is they use the music, but then they change the lyrics to fit the story. And so, I Am Woman is just changed. The lyrics change on that and so forth. But they're going to cover all the music from kind of everything from kind of the folk music, but especially the rock music. And it stays a very kind of light rock is what I would say most of the music is.
Is this a locally produced production, or is this a production company that comes in?
It is the national tour that has been going around the country for about 10 years now. They've played in 250 cities in the United States. They have over 50 million people that have seen this musical. And so this, again, is the national tour that's coming across the Midwest.
It sounds like it's a pretty popular musical.
It is one of the most popular musicals out there, and it's one of those musicals that people see over and over and over again just because of the enjoyment of it and the music. So it's not one that, I mean, most of the women in the audience will have seen it at least once.
Why did Roubidoux Resident Theater choose this selection to come here?
Well, I think it's a great piece, and we just happened to make a great connection with them in their tour dates, and they were willing to do three different ones. This was one that was supposed to have been performed in March, but because of the fire and the magnitude of the size of the show, we couldn't find a place to relocate it in March, and so the company was very gracious and held it over until November of this year, and then they also added the date to it. And so we have three performances at 4 and 7:30 on Saturday the 12th, and then at 2 o'clock on the 13th on Sunday afternoon. And so we're just grateful that we didn't have to cancel it altogether. That's basically how it all came about, is it was just a great connection for us. But the subject matter is always fun and light, and people enjoy it.
That was Executive Director of the Roubidoux Resident Theater, Jeff Haney. He says Menopause the Musical will be at the Missouri Theater at 717 Edmond in downtown St. Joseph for three performances. Curtain times are Saturday at 4 o'clock and 7:30 and Sunday at 2. Ticket information is available on the Roubidoux Resident Theater website at rrtstjoe.org or by calling 816-232-1778. The Northwest Missouri State University Wind Symphony will be in concert this weekend. Dr. Doug Overmeyer is the director of the Wind Symphony. He says Sunday's performance will feature the music of some of the best wind composers in our history.
We'll have just the Wind Symphony by themselves. We'll be playing six different pieces, and they're all pretty much featuring the top composers of the last century. And these are our wind band compositions that have been just written for just the wind band. These aren't transcriptions. These aren't arrangements, and these are different kinds of models of music that are, it's very popular, crowd pleasers.
Who are some of the composers and what are some of the selections?
Percy Grainger is probably one of the more famous ones. He's written thousands and thousands of arrangements of folk music, and these are some of his pieces for just wind band, and it's Handel and the Strand. And there's Dmitri Shostakovich, and interestingly enough, a very popular Russian composer at the same time as Rostropovich was very popular with the Russian symphony and also with the American symphony. We're doing Leonard Bernstein's Slava and Shostakovich's Festive Overture in the same concert. So hopefully the folks will get, you know, a correlation between the two. Hindemith and his arrangement of Carl Maria von Weber's Symphonie Fantastique. We're doing his march from this Symphonic Metamorphosis. It's a very, very difficult work, and we're doing that. We have Kevin Murray as our guest conductor for that. Kevin's the percussion teacher here. Wonderful talent and very, very effective on the podium, so this should be a really good concert for that. But that's just a few of the folks we have.
What are you most looking forward to in this concert?
Really kind of getting us into a concert mode. We have a lot of new freshmen. So it's a very young group, and the challenges of this music are not going to be forgiving. And so to get the students used to performing and playing, and really this is kind of their way to cut their teeth in a more advanced ensemble while preparing for the upcoming events that we have in this next spring and summer.
Now, one of those events is a very tremendous honor. Tell me about that.
It's probably one of the more prestigious things that a band can receive. We've been selected for a performance, or for two performances, during the International Society of Music Educators in Thessaloniki, Greece. So we're really looking forward to this.
How did this come about?
They had a call for participation, and we start sending in our programs, CDs, DVDs of our concerts from last February and April, and it's taken, we had to send in programs, videos and those things unmarked, and they were sent to a group of a committee, a selection committee, and as a result of their screening process and of their recommendations, we were selected. So we're real excited.
It must make you feel very proud. You've been here just a short while, and already you have an orchestra that's honored this way.
Yeah, the Wind Symphony has really, it's been growing. It's been getting there, and I didn't expect it. But I was hoping that in a few years, after applying a number of times, we would get, So I've really got to hand the credit, though, to the students and the faculty here, because I get to enjoy the collection of their works. So we put them all together in a band, and I get to take a bow for it.
Do you know at this point what you might be performing in Greece, or you know, will we see some of the performances?
Yes, as a matter of fact, in one of the hint that I got that we were really close to the finals was when they asked if we would be willing to consider an American music performance. And so I got real excited, and we started programming and getting ready to do Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, and we've got Charles Badami tapped to play that here. We have, and I've asked a lot of the faculty if they would participate in that on our April performance, because that'll be our last really showcase concert during the semester. And then, of course, we'll do another concert in July before we leave for the convention. But, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to probably do, like, an American salute. Of course, Stars and Stripes Forever has to be on the program. You can't play American music without Stars and Stripes. So those are just some of the things we'll pull up.
That was the director of the Northwest Wind Symphony, Dr. Doug Overmeyer. He says the symphony will be traveling to Greece this summer for its performance before the International Society of Music Educators. Sunday's concert begins at 3 o'clock in the Ron Houston Center for the Performing Arts. The concert is open to the public. The St. Joseph Symphony continues its chamber series this weekend. Music director and conductor Rico McNeela says the symphony will present a chamber concert this Sunday in downtown St. Joseph.
This is the first of three concerts this season. It's going to be at the Presbyterian Church in St. Joseph Sunday afternoon, the 13th at 2 o'clock. It's going to feature music of an Italian Baroque composer, Arcangelo Corelli, a violin sonata he wrote, and it will be performed by our concertmaster, Chun-Chen Chuang, and her husband, John Biaveses. Next on the program is a Mendelssohn string quintet for two violas. It's a really wonderful work from late in his life. It's two violins, two violas, and cello. And last on the program is a very unique piece by Ernest Chausson. It's called His Concerto, and it's for violin, piano, and string quartet.
Now, why have you chosen these pieces for the opening chamber concert?
Well, they are brilliant, flashy, beautiful pieces. There's a really wide range of expression in them. And I really like this program because it's music that's a little bit off the beaten path. These are pieces you don't hear that much, even though I think they're really first-rate pieces.
Who are the players in this concert?
Well, as is almost always the case, these are members of the St. Joseph Symphony. So John Viaveses is the only person you'll hear on Sunday who is not. He's the husband of our concertmaster and a really fine pianist. Both Chun-Chen Chuang, our concertmaster, and her husband are recent graduates of the University of Kansas City Conservatory of Music with doctoral degrees. The other players are going to be Catherine Root, one of the members of our first violin section, Jamie Q, member of our cello section, and Monty Carter, our principal violist.
Now, this series of concerts, the chamber concerts, you've chosen to have in different locations. Why have you chosen this one to be at the First Presbyterian Church?
Well, the First Presbyterian is a uniquely beautiful place. It has a really beautiful, resilient, resonant sound, and a very nice piano, and it's just a very nice place to start off this season of chamber music.
That was the music director and conductor of the St. Joseph Symphony, Rico McNeela. He says the chamber concert will be this Sunday at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church at 7th and Jewell Streets in downtown St. Joseph. Ticket information is available on the symphony's website at stjosephsymphony.org.
The 1973 classic movie The Sting, starring Paul Newman and Robert Redford, a.k.a. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, turned the caper film into a staple for Hollywood. Lineal descendants of The Sting include Three Kings, the Ocean's 11 franchise, Gone in 60 Seconds, and the excellent Out of Sight, a frequently overlooked George Clooney film. The formula for these films has a group of thieves concoct a scheme to rip off a fortune, usually from someone who richly deserves to lose it. We recently got a variation of the formula with Horrible Bosses, in which three men who are bullied, sexually harassed, and generally demoralized decide the only way to make their lives worth living is to kill their bosses. Since the guys are only wannabe criminals, they have to recruit a real one to help them. And they turn in a Three Stooges kind of performance. Now we get Tower Heist, another caper comedy, with amateurs trying to be crooks. Tower Heist is a lot like Horrible Bosses. Joss Kovacs, played by Ben Stiller here, manages a luxury hotel owned by billionaire Arthur Shaw, played by Alan Alda. Shaw seems like the ideal boss. He's also an investment manager, and when the ultra-loyal Josh asks him to invest the hotel employee's $20 million pension fund, he agrees. But then the feds suddenly swoop in and arrest Shaw on charges of running a Ponzi scheme. So where is the employee's pension fund? Gone with the other assets and at the bottom of the list for any recovery. So what to do? Josh explodes and damages Shaw's antique Porsche, leading him to be charged for assault with possible jail time. But even the FBI special agent Claire Denham, Tia Leone, here, and just about every other law enforcement officer who knows what a slime Shaw is sympathizes with Josh, especially when a suspiciously generous judge lets Shaw off on his criminal charges, though his creditors are still getting their pound of flesh. So again, what to do? Josh concocts a scheme. The FBI knows Shaw has hidden assets squirreled away. Josh suspects that some of the millions are hidden in Shaw's Tower Hotel apartment. So he recruits a posse comitatus to steal it. The group of wannabe thieves includes Fitzhugh, a bankrupt financial advisor about to be kicked out of his room and hotel, and Enrique, Charlie, and Odessa, fellow employees and losers to Shaw. These folks aren't crooks. Not to worry. Josh just happens to know one, Slide, here, played by Eddie Murphy, who's back in form. He's a neighbor in Josh's building who had been hauled off by the Cox for stealing. So Josh bails Slide out and recruits him. And so it goes, as Josh plans every move to raid Shaw's apartment very carefully. But naturally, the course of crime and movie capers ne'er runs smoothly. Slide is, after all, a crook and a thief, and he'd just as soon steal from his friends as from Shaw. Charlie's more worried about his pregnant wife than the caper. Fitzhugh is too depressed and self-centered to be very reliable. And Josh has his hands full keeping his little band together. On the plus side, Tower Heist is a revenge and payback movie, and that's a perennially popular plot line. Moreover, it's tuned in to current events. The Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme is but one of several recent scams that have swindled people out of their money. And most people, including the Occupy Wall Street folks, are infuriated at the insolent behavior of the big banks, whose selfishness has cost the life savings of many and thrown the country into a recession. So it's sort of entertaining to see some vicarious payback to a Wall Street crook. And Alda makes Shaw, the Ponzi swindler, wonderfully evil when he tells Josh and the others that they are, after all, only little people who are his legitimate prey. Also, we get some good performances from veteran actors and newbies. Gohernis Ladibi, who made a hit in Precious, her first film, is a hoot as the hotel maid Odessa, who turns out to be a better criminal than the others. It's good to see Eddie Murphy back after a series of flops with his signature fast-talking, potty-mouth performance as the larcenous Slide. Tia Leone is always a joy. She has great screen charisma. But these performers don't have much to work with here. For one thing, the conclusion is an impossible mess. I can't talk about it here without revealing too much plot, but suffice it to say there's no rational way in this universe that the caper could end as it does, and the sloppy writing negates whatever else might be good about the film. It has none of the wit and irony of good caper films like Horrible Bosses. In short, Tower Heist is a lackluster version of a whole lot of caper and revenge movies. I'll give it 2.5 stars out of 5. But, for an addendum, I might mention the DVD release a week ago of Crazy Stupid Love. It's sort of like Smucker's Jam. With a title like Crazy Stupid Love, you have to be good. And it is. I don't usually much care for romantic comedies, but this nifty tale of three interacting love stories and the ironies it developed rises above formula. It's a story that both amuses us when we see it and the next day when we think about it. It's a bit too much of a feel-good movie, but hey, I felt good. It rises above formula to be really entertaining and well worth the price of a rental. I reviewed it when I was in the theaters and rated it 4 stars out of 5. And on reflection, I might throw in a bag of popcorn.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.